So welcome to Crippled Systems Lost Aspect in Orlando. Yeah.
In Orlando.
Yeah.
Orlando.
It's a lot colder in Orlando than I thought. I didn't know yeah, there's still snow here. It's weird.
I didn't know you were going to start singing right away.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I didn't have a song prepared.
Well, it was from the musical that Trey Parker and Matt Stone put together. They're the Mormons, and the main Mormon wants to go and do his mission in Orlando. So every time they mention Orlando, he starts breaking out in a song.
Oh, I should see if I can. I should see if I can steal part of the song and put it at the beginning of this.
No, they've done a lot of musical stuff, though. Like, have you seen Cannibal musical?
Uh-uh.
Oh, shame on you.
We should probably introduce everybody first real quick, and then we can go into the nice, wonderful Cannibal, the musical. My name is Andy, and I'm the host for this event. I'm replacing Lewis, who was supposed to be here about 45 minutes ago.
You hear that, Lewis? You're not here.
You are in trouble.
Yeah, I'm telling your mom.
I think you get more in trouble if you tell his wife.
That's probably true, too.
This is Jeremy, Valiant 418-2 on the forums. Actually, Calrissian on the forums. Play Protectorate, so a little bit better in that regard over that, Jeremy.
Slightly funny story. When I got your text saying that it was okay to be here at 6, when I saw my phone, it said Jeremy, and I'm like... Wait a second. I only told one Jeremy about this. How does Jeremy Shea know about this? I'm like, God damn it.
Well, just like how he showed up at the start of Crippled System.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He showed up one day, and there we go.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I am Jeff, locally known as Troll Jeff. Don't do the forum thing, but I play Troll Bloods.
Would never guess that.
I know, right?
I know, it's weird.
Well, I could be Internet Troll Jeff. I lurk in the corners and say inflammatory things and wait for other people to get angry.
But you don't do the forum thing, though.
Right. Well, I go to random forums under names like Valiant 418.
He's a lurker until he gets to go and steal someone's password, and then he logs in as them.
My name is Adam, and I do Kator and Legion.
Awesome.
Yeah. So let's go back to this Cannibal thing that we were talking about.
It was back from the early 80s even. They've got this goofy little musical where all there's a bunch of people pioneering, and they get lost in the mountains and turn to cannibalism. But the whole thing is set up to ridiculous songs. Like, I think the first song in the whole thing is Spadoinkle Day. And it's just this very cheerful, bright, happy music. It's like, it's a spadoinkle day. And they use the word the entire movie. They never really describe it. They use it as like the ubiquitous, like, Marklar kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
They've also got the wonderful Let's Build a Snowman song. Have you ever heard that thing?
I have not. Cannot say I have.
Barely a song. It's got some lyrics. Nothing rhymes. It goes, let's build a snowman. I don't even remember the rest. Look it up. You'll find it online. YouTube it. You'll find 18 homework. Entries. Yeah.
I mean, Matt Stone, Trey Parker, pretty much everything they do is amazing, I'll say.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I love basketball. I first saw it when I was probably about 14, 15, maybe 16. But that movie, just the quotes from that movie.
Yeah.
I swear to God, guys, you rip on me 13 or 14 more times, I'm out of here.
Oh, so you are Jeremy.
I am Jeremy, yes.
Literally.
Real life. I mean, that's how I live my motto. I swear to God, you guys rip on me 13, 14 more times, I'm leaving this podcast. So
we're going to keep track. We're going to keep the tally. Poke counter. Yep.
Yeah, a little ding.
We're up to 5. All right. Got another 8.
It is awful scary that you sat down exactly in Jeremy's chair, too.
Well, I sat down, and then I asked, where does Jeremy usually sit? And you just looked at me and went right there, and I'm like, yep. Great. This is going to be great. Fun podcast.
So this is kind of our answer to the Musa Minis Miami. We're kind of doing something a little bit different than our normal podcast.
I thought this was a unique and original experience.
Oh.
I would say it's original.
This is our idea. They just put it out first.
Yeah. They ripped us off without hearing actually anything we ever did, so...
Do they even listen to you guys?
Oh, they do. They do listen to us to rip us off.
So, yeah. So, there we go.
This is our answer.
They had really good intel earlier.
Yeah, they had an insider here. Sort of didn't catch him in time, and then he recorded everything, released it to them before we were able to release it, and then they just stole our idea.
Yeah, like usual.
Yeah. This was months in the planning, if you guys couldn't tell.
Yeah, we were recording this in July of last year.
Yeah. So yeah. This is, you know, eight months in the planning. So.
Yeah, exactly. So to be different than the War Machine podcast that Crippled System puts on, we're actually going to be talking about some other games.
Like Hordes?
And Hordes, yeah.
Yes, we're going to talk about Hordes because it is not the same game.
No. But considering how many podcasts out there, I don't know of any of them that actually talk about Vengeance.
No. Yeah.
Really hasn't. Considering Privateer basically spoiled every goddamn thing in the book.
That's really a reason why there hasn't been a lot of talk about Vengeance is because there's not,
no speculation. Yeah, it's just out.
Everything was out before the book was even released. So everything that was talked about, you know, months up until, you know, 2 weeks before the book was released. So what spoilers were there?
I was going to say, like,
the cover.
No.
Oh, wait, no. That wasn't spoiled.
Well, I thought there were a handful of models that we didn't have the official rules on. Like, Imperatus, I don't think, had the official rules out.
They did.
They
had everything.
I don't think there was a single thing in here that wasn't spoiled.
Including
the stories.
Even the fluff was.
Yeah.
The fluff was actually spoiled by Bells of the Lost Souls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, everything.
You guys just ruined everything.
Yeah.
I would prefer to go and see it not be ruined so much in the future. I mean, I understand that they've got to release some stuff to get hype up.
Yeah.
But you got to keep stuff back.
And to keep with the production cycle, they have to keep producing figures as they go. So, like, those are going to get spoiled naturally.
Like, right. I mean, like, I was looking at the book, and I'm like, oh, the Bastion Seneschal's in here. I'm like, I've been playing with him now forever. But, of course, he's in the book because there was no other book. Yeah. Released after he came, or you know, after he came out,
right?
So.
But like a good example is we're going to see those two Circle War Beasts probably before before Exegetes comes out.
We're probably going to see them next week at the Adepticon, from what I've heard.
Well, I mean, you guys they've got the figures, so
yeah. Yeah. Well, but I mean, we're going to see Exegetes models very soon, mm-hmm. which is I'm fine with okay with the model being released and it being spoiled through the model, but it sucks when the book comes out and I'm not. You know, I'm not hyped enough to go buy the book.
Right.
I agree. They really ought to have at least, like, one model per faction that's held back. That's not released until you open the book and go, oh, I didn't know about that thing.
Yeah. Like, not even, like, pictures of it, just nothing. Like, so when you open up the book and you're looking through it, you'll be like, oh, okay, I know about that. Well, what is this? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to the game itself that it's becoming that popular that people, like, even in the printing houses know about the game and therefore feel like that they can spoil it then. And plus, anything that gets an early release is going to spoil it too. Like, Bell of Lost Souls, they just decided they're going to release every goddamn thing.
Well, but a lot of companies that have that kind of power have non-disclosure agreements. It's just a matter of how well they're followed and how tight the language is written on them.
True.
And how bad the repercussions are if they break it.
Right.
Like, yeah. If you're going to get a slap on the wrist, they're going to do it anyway.
Well, I mean, it's how you used to work kind of like in the video game industry. Like, those big chains like Walmart would sneak a game out, like, on accident or didn't catch it. And the fine was, like, you know, $100,000, which sounds like a lot, but to Walmart's like, we made $200,000 in sales that week. We don't care.
Yeah, it's like three employees we can get rid of.
Yeah. And so they ramped up penalty range to the multi-million.
Like five employees they can get rid of.
Five employees. That's the insurance we don't have to pay for them.
Yeah, right there. Well, they weren't paying for the insurance anyway, so.
Yeah.
But no, they have to make sure that they're punishing people enough for letting that information out. You know, like, they really have to watch that little piece.
Yeah,
and so like their own forums patrol it pretty well by the don't put rules on here, but they don't do a Games Workshop routine where they hunt you down and kill you for letting their information out early.
Which I mean, that's because they are really nice, from my experience, to their community in general. Because
they don't want to be Games Workshop,
right?
Starters.
But it also does a little bit of disservice, you know, in getting the hype up for the book. Like For the next Hordes book, I really hope that they hold some stuff back. I mean,
are they going to be able to release information before it's here? Aren't we expecting Exegetes in, like, September?
I honestly think Exegetes will be available at Gen Con.
Gen Con's only a month ahead of September, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll probably be at Gen Con and then officially released in September. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess it seems
But in order to
reasonable.
Get all the releases and spoilers out, that means that we're going to be seeing what if we assume five models per core faction? That's 20 figures, and we've got 4 months. about, 4 months. So that's, we're looking at a lot of releases any given month to spoil the whole book.
Yeah.
And then we know some of the things are in there, but we don't know any of the rules yet.
Right. I mean, I feel like with Vengeance, they started releasing stuff, trickling it a little bit quite early, but then in like the last month, they just, everything was just thrown out there. Like,
yeah. Well, they released a bunch of models that weren't even, when the book wasn't even announced yet. I mean, like the Bastion Seneschal was actually Outriders in that before the book was even named.
Right. Yeah.
Well, when they started doing that, I was wondering if they're just going to start altering up their release schedule a little bit where they're going to have like an odd figure that just drops out of nowhere on us. So we have to watch the stores.
Well, I was out of the loop for all of this. And then one day I looked on my Facebook and everyone's like, oh, here's a complete list of Vengeance. And I'm like, wait, what? The book's out now? And I looked around and they're like, no, this is just spoilers. I'm like, but that's everything.
Well, you can usually piece together the pieces too.
Yeah, so, but I wasn't. I hadn't been. And then someone had compiled them all and they're like, here you go. And it was plastered everywhere on my social media.
Well, like they're already trying to do that with Exigence. Like you can go to the forums and you'll find a list of like, okay, so if we assume 5 launches per faction, we're going to have a caster, we're going to have X number of other things. What don't we know about yet?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even play Hordes. I've only got my Protectorate army at the time being, and that's enough for me for right now. But I'm actually a little bit excited for that just based on the keynote that we saw about what potentially could be in it. I just, like I said, it goes back to my hype will go down if they just start releasing everything before the book actually comes out.
Yeah, exactly. I really like the idea of the War Beast packs.
Yeah,
those sounds really cool. It's sad that Trollbloods don't have them.
I can't even fathom what they would do with Trollbloods, though.
Whelps.
No one. Everybody says they want that, but they don't really want that.
Whelps don't last technically that long to be at like a pact.
Right. Yeah. They just have like 3 per base, and they're like a little swarm of whelps that do nothing.
Nobody wants that. Internet wants that, but the internet's stupid.
I want to see the models for it. I don't want to ever see them played.
Actually,
I just want to see the idea of 3 whelps on
I just came up with a great idea. I think that like a huge base filled like a mountain of whelps would be funny as hell, where they just move and they hit like impact attacks on everything. They have a 360
trample.
Yeah, and they have a 360 line of sight. They can trample. They can do power attacks, but it's like a mountain of whelps, just like a huge mountain.
They have like critical devour
mountain king size. Yeah,
small base. It can devour small bases.
And they still have the comfort food rules that the regular whelps do. So one troll can walk over and eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mountain king.
No, you just if you do the comfort food, then you just place that model on the top of the whelps. And then he becomes a huge base because after he's done eating, he's going to be.
Yeah, like in the middle of the model, they just have a set for like a large base, a medium base, and, so whatever one goes there and eats it, you could just push up, place him right there on the model, and he becomes part of the model now.
Yep.
Well, just becomes Mountain King.
Yeah.
B6 regeneration.
Yeah.
One in there. Yeah.
Wouldn't be worth it.
Mountain of whelps.
No, like everyone fascinates about the, oh, we can put this riding a dire troll. Like, I don't want the troll to be that ridiculous of a faction. The most ridiculous thing I want to see is I want to see a Doomshaper whelp. He can regenerate like a full-blood troll. I want to see a little crotchety Doomshaper whelp. Get off my lawn!
That's probably what I heard in you guys' ears, and I'm sitting right next to him.
All right.
I mean,
that's as ridiculous as I want to see Trollbloods go. Like Borka on a bear, I'm okay with.
That just seems really cool. Like that right there, I sort of like Trollbloods as it is because I'm like just painting models. That's how I got into this first, just painting them. And they just got some of the coolest sculpts, I feel. A lot of the Trollbloods do. So, like, I'll probably just pick up Borka on a bear just so I could paint him, just because he's such a cool sculpt.
You should pick up a Blitzer because that thing is amazing.
I do actually have
the old school Blitzer,
he is my favorite part about the old school Blitzer is, and it goes in with the fluff, is that his chains that are on him prevent him from eating the whelp that's on his back.
Oh, yeah. They're deliberately there so he can't reach up over to his back and get the whelp. Nice. Or the pig. But
which doesn't make sense because the new one doesn't have chains. So.
Yeah. Well, your model's got to change a little bit. Fluff isn't always going
to
keep up
with it. Well, when they tried making the universal plastic kit, and a lot of the Trollblood models took a hit when they tried doing that.
Yeah, because I got the plastic kit, but
the battle box?
No, I bought the heavy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, blood heavy plastic kit.
The bomb was from Mahler.
Yeah, and I essentially did not go with like the Blitzer back because I'm like, I was thinking about like interchanging them, and I'm like, that's just going to be too difficult and leave just too many lines. So yeah. I just like just put the one back on them, and I'm just going to go with two out of the three. I mean, if I ever play Trollbloods, which I probably won't, but
I mean the bombers, the plastic kit matches the bomber exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
I really like the metal sculpt of the Blitzer. I really like the metal sculpt of the Mahler.
Yeah.
The Mahler is like, it's almost an iconic beast for Trollbloods. I mean that shot of him just kind of hulking out. It just looks so much better than the I'm just waiting along.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I went and got a like wrong sculpt or something, but when I got my kit, it only came with one set of teeth. So, but two of the heads need the teeth. So,
I don't remember if that's the case or not. I only bought one of the plastic kits.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm like, I'll never use the Blitzer part if I ever do play. But I was like, oh, I only have one set of teeth for two heads.
You probably won't use the Blitzer anyways.
Yeah. No, Blitzer's awesome.
Not all of us roll three shots all the time, Andy.
What? I don't know.
One.
Don't know what you're talking about. Like Andy.
Don't know what you're talking about. You guys are just all making up lies. And
you know, in the little bit that I've played against Andy, I don't think I've ever played a game against you where you've actually played anything that's been able to drift. Well, no, you did, Gordon. But you didn't need to drift there. You were just hitting me. So
yeah. The Durgan, the half hour Durgan match was. I feel bad because to go over this, I played him on one of the Wednesdays that we recorded, and I moved, you moved, I killed you.
Yep.
Great battle report. Done.
It was literally about that long.
Which then the actual game that got recorded after that, which was Dan versus you, and made you so cautious.
About moving up too far.
Moving up too far that he was able to snare you.
Yeah, pretty hardcore. So,
I feel bad. But
we've all tasted that, though.
I wouldn't feel too bad.
So, but I mean, you always have those goofy circumstances where it's like, okay, everything went great. Oops, failed, dead.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but now you know, like, don't move a medium-based caster anywhere close to Durgan Madhammer.
Well, he wasn't really that close, but you went and shot my Reckoner that was standing in front of him with Terran, which allowed you to go and see through the Reckoner that was protecting him, and that's how you were able to get all your shots on me. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
It's not fun for the rest of us.
No,
it's fun to watch though.
Man, I do like Earthbreaker Kill. That's it's been my new favorite thing so far.
Well, I don't think it was Earthbreaker. It was Holt that went and actually got me.
Oh,
Earthbreaker.
Oh, maybe I wasn't even used. No, I was using the Earthbreaker.
You were using
then.
The Earthbreaker, but you didn't even get to use the Earthbreaker before you got to me.
No. So we could probably. We were talking about reviewing Vengeance. One of the things I was thinking of doing was just, since this is a new cast, and we've done this before with the old cast, and we try to do it whenever we try to fit somebody new in, is give a quick introduction to yourself and kind of tell us like why you chose your faction and kind of go over that as we're introducing our wonderful new crowd to new people.
Okay, my name's Jeremy Kofoot. I went and started playing in January of 2013, though I did meet Andy at a local convention that we went had here in town in September of 2012. Played a demo game with you.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did, actually.
And how did that go?
He was there, and it was me and my brother, and we played a demo game together, and I'm like, I talked to you for a little bit, but I'm like, I always really wanted to paint these guys, but I had been out of painting for about 10 years. So then in November, I finally picked up the two-player battle box and decided to play Protectorate. But I also went with the stipulation that I wasn't going to play any games until I had everything painted. Well, that battle box then quickly turned into 25 points, and then I played my first game that January. And then that quickly turned into, oh, crap, I need to go and buy more models and start playing at 50 points because that's what everyone plays here. So I grew very quickly. So, but got into it for the painting aspect and have tried to only play with painted models since because I it's a stress reliever for me. So
and they look really nice too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jenga's models are amazing.
Is there a reason why you chose Protectorate, or do you just want to be a religious?
It's really funny because I'm not religious at all, but I love the whole
burning
religious zealot aspect of it. Just burning people because of their belief, you know, non-believers and stuff.
Nice.
I'm very hypocritical of my own life, but it's very much how I sort of – I love the fluff. I really like the fluff of them. So.
Yeah, Protectorate – out of all the factions I have, which I have a lot of them, Protectorate is probably one of my favorites. Besides Troublets.
I mean, fluff-wise and just the look of the models between Kador and Protector. And I spent a lot of time before I even bought the two-player battle box just looking at all the models. And I was just like, boy, the Protector, they just got, like, character to even, like, their base models, I felt.
So, yeah.
Which Troopers. Is funny, the faction that has more full-face masks than any other faction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it Protectorate, if you don't want to paint skin, that's the faction to go with.
Yeah.
Because all their Flame Guard, their Cleansers, and their regular Flame Guard, Temple Guard.
Yeah. Except for if I was to do it again, I would not be doing white. Because white sucks. And I even went and mitigated a lot of the white by painting green as my main color, so...
Which white? Is never a mistake. Green is awesome.
Mm-hmm. White is definitely a difficult color. You just have to be very careful with it and go with many layers.
You layer that stuff on thick so you can hide your brush marks.
Yeah. Or you just get an airbrush and just do it that way.
That works. Works as well.
Some of us aren't that talented.
It doesn't take talent to use an airbrush.
I wasn't that talented.
Let me just show you my attempts at this.
Oh, I have.
I went to 2 airbrushing classes. Well, after the first one, I picked up my first airbrush and then just went back for the advanced features, which I don't really know if they're very much advanced from the first one, but just had fun, and I just try and airbrush, you know, 3-4 times a week, and, you know, right now I'm mixing color, you know, like trying to do some transition color work, and it's working out all right, so.
To compare it, it's basically the same way as like learning guitar. Once you learn the control of the airbrush, You can actually deal with it.
See, but I can play guitar. I can't play airbrush.
You can play airbrush.
Because I probably haven't tried. I did it once on a test model.
Yeah.
I picked up my brother's old airbrush from when he did D&D figs.
Sure.
I had no idea how it worked, and I just hosed that model and caked everything nicely.
Yeah.
Once you learn the control, once you know how to... I mean, if you go through the basic courses,
it works out really well.
What Jeremy and I did was basically we were kind of just try to draw a straight line, and that's...
Yeah.
It may seem easy. Doing it with airbrush is kind of difficult, but once you get it down and get used to it, it's pretty easy.
And I mean, I pretty much just do all my base coats, and typically I just do my white and green, and then I just brush everything else, and I do my base coat, and then I will go and just do my shading. You know, typically it's just putting a wash on.
That's what my
shading then
is.
I seal it with a gloss coat, and then go over it with the highlights, and then seal it again, so.
Yep.
I'm sorry, we're supposed to be introducing ourselves.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I went off on a little bit of a tangent there about painting, so.
Oh, tangents? No.
For one thing, you never apologize for a tangent because that's what we're known for up here.
No, you're known for rants, not tangents.
Nathan is known for rants.
Yes.
We don't, and Brian does sometimes go on rants too, but
I'm always good for a rant, but I got nothing really to rant about right now other than Charter, but that's for a whole different story. So,
yeah. All right.
Well, if you've been avid listeners, I've been on the podcast a couple of times, so it won't be a new story. I picked Trollbloods before they were actually out. I didn't know any of the rules for them. I've always had a fascination with things that fully regenerate, things that actually can regrow limbs. So I went straight for the faction because, like, oh, they can do this. The mechanical rules weren't as impressive, but I just kind of went with the adaptability feature of them instead.
Yeah.
So just always really liked that aspect about Trollbloods. If you wanted a more in-depth story about how I even started the game, it all started way, way back when I was working at ACD Distribution. Maybe a name to recognize from if you're in the industry at all. But I had some friends there. They kind of showed me, like, you want to try this new miniature game? Because you've been playing Games Workshop. You don't really seem to be all that into it. And I went, sure, why not? And went there and tried it and played a battle box game of Sorsha versus Magnus. The other person had Sorsha, and I had Magnus. but the people showing were kind of to let me know, like, no, just use your obliterator on that jack that Sorsha's standing right next to. And then from there on, it was like, and then shoot George's face off. Like, seems pretty interesting. I guess I'll give it a shot. And kind of cascaded from there. Picked up Crix because I liked the more undeady kind of thing. And faded away from Crix at the release for the Bane Knights. Because I really felt shoehorned when I was fielding Bane Knights. Like, they were so, so good in Mark 1.
Yeah.
Where, like, if they weren't in your army, you were doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I really hated that. So I moved over to Trollbloods, which, ironically, at the end of Mark 1, were god-awful.
To give people a fill-in real quick about Bane Knights, what they were in Mark 1, if you killed or if you hit a Bane Knight, they got an ability called Shadow Strike,
I think? Shadow Shift.
Shadow Shift, which they would then be able to move and make an attack.
Yep. Oh, any other model and unit could move and make attack.
Yep.
So, like, it was possible to have your unit in your deployment zone get pinged by, like, long gunners, take no damage, and creep your entire squad, you know, halfway to the other end of the table.
Yeah. That's dirty.
They were broken as hell. Yeah. And they were cheaper than Bane Knights. Or Bane Thralls.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, they were just ungodly good. And they're still solid, but they're not in that same kind of, like...
They're not broken anymore, so why would Crix play with them?
Well,
you know, they're still Banes.
They're still good. They're still really good. Basically, Mark II, it was kind of interesting seeing everything just get hammered down.
I love Mark II. Because they didn't change Trollbloods for anything, and at the same point in time, they got much, much stronger as a result.
Yes. Yep. No, it was them and Kador. They definitely did not take a lot of damage from Mark II.
Yeah.
Yay.
But anyway, cool. Yeah, sorry.
But that was pretty much most of my story. I could give you how I got into miniature gaming, but no one really cares about that. So we'll move on.
I'm Adam. I've been playing for about 8 months now, and I had to take like a 4-month break in between there due to work. I picked Kador because they look amazing to me. I like big, stompy robots and, you know, communists.
Wow. Well, okay.
You like communists?
Yeah, okay. I like communists.
Yeah, okay.
Just coming right out with that. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Well.
I just saw that they were the Russians, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do this. And a local guy, Carlos, actually got me into the game. And that was a mistake. Because I learned the game from him when he didn't know the game. So after learning from him, I went to one of the local tournaments here and went 0-4.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's just my normal tournament, so I don't know what your problem is there.
One of the guys I played had Pyrrhus.
Oh, okay.
And used all three of her abilities at once. Turns out she's really good when she can do that, and you don't know that she can't.
Well, I mean, even cheating opponents aside, you start this game, you get your teeth kicked
and I'm more still, than a couple times. Still doing that. I've won a couple of games. I actually got Dominator by losing with my red because I played the system, not the game. So that was neat. Yeah,
you get kicked in the teeth more than a couple times, and what am I doing wrong? Because I'm getting kicked in the teeth about every single week. So
then I don't feel so bad, yeah.
But I think my issue has to do with the fact that I like to play with everything that I paint, and I like to paint, so I have a new unit about every week, so I keep switching up lists and different casters. So,
well, but sometimes you got to play with those new units too, and like even if the internet world decries something as terrible, you can, with enough persistence, you can bring out the shine and even some pretty bad things.
Well, and that's the other thing, like a War Machine weekend last year, I went and I decided to play in one of the scrambles, the 8-person scrambles.
Yep.
And I decided to play with Testament. You know, I had played with Testament once or twice before, but in an 8-person scramble, I'm like, okay, we're going to go with this. And everyone says Testament, oh, that's one of the Protector's worst casters.
No.
I had a lot of fun with him. Like, I really had a lot of fun with him. I just had a bad matchup in my second match, and in my third one, if I would have popped his feet, I would have won because I would have been impervious to him being killed that round, but... Oh, well, I mean, overall, I finished 4 out of 8, so I finished fairly decent with Testament, so.
Yeah. Well, Testament took a big hit from Mark 1 to Mark 2.
Yeah.
And the advent of magical weapons kind of stops his feet a little bit, but I really think that Testament is one of those unsung heroes for Mark 2. He could really, if you have, like, the Venture Cav with him, some kind of really fast-moving units can really be very useful for his feet.
And the one model that really got me to Kator was Harkovich. People keep telling me that he's awful. He's the only caster with Kator that I've actually won with. I've won with him 3 times because hand cannons kill casters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of that. Especially, it's more pronounced in some factions than other, where if you don't take the easiest route, it's decried as bad.
He just looks so cool, I can't not.
Well, to draw a comparison from the faction, I know, like, there's a lot of models that are now powerhouse characters that people said were terrible for 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Prime Doomshaper forever was like, why would you ever field him? Epic Grizzle, one of my favorites, and she was decried as being awful, like unusable for months after she came out.
Well, in the opposite direction is where I am, where everyone's saying like, oh my god, you got to play with Ephiora and Harbinger. They are the best. And I'm like, I've played with them, and they just don't fit my playstyle, and I don't do very well with them. So I just don't play them at all. And it seems like everyone's either got one or two of those in their tournament list a lot of times. And I've gone the opposite way where I've now looked at mine. I'm like, okay, I have fun with these four casters. I have now decided that I'm going to just play with those four casters and a specific list for each of them just so I can actually start to just be like, okay, I'm settling in for the time being. This is what I'm playing, and that's it. Because I want to get a little bit more tournament viable. Like, going 0-4 at every single tournament you go to is not very fun, so I would like to go 2-2, so I'm going to start just limiting what lists I play rather than switching it up every single week. So
yeah, once you get the idea behind your list down and be able to know the ins and outs, they'll definitely come around. And yeah, more games.
Certainly. Well, and that was the other thing. Like, I actually went and posted on the Protectorate list discussions. I'm like, oh, well, here's the four casters I want. Here's the list I'm thinking about running. I'm not really good at building tournament lists, so could you guys like look at this and break it down and tell me what I should or should not be playing?
I'm certain most torn apart. Like, why aren't you using Harbinger?
No, actually, most of them were like, are you sure you're not good at building tournament lists? Because most of these look pretty solid. Here are just a couple minor models I would move in or out. I'm like, oh, I must just suck playing the list then. I got to play them more often.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I've really liked about Hordes and War Machine is there's so much more of the game determined on the tabletop than just what you have in the list.
Yeah. Oh, and that's true because, I mean, you can go and have the best stuff, but if you, especially like in Menoth, like, because certain things have to go before, like, if you don't activate the choir before you do your jacks, oops, there goes a real big issue. I mean, that's one of the first things I ever drilled into my head was choir always goes first, so.
Yep.
But I mean, yeah, if you don't know how to deal with the synergy in the army, then you're not going to probably play it that well, so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it, so.
Yeah, we've touched upon it, but there's more on the tabletop. And some of it's even just using figures in ways they're capable of, but not commonly used.
Right. Well, I always forget that the Vassal has a magical attack. And I'm like, oh, my jacks are gone. I have nothing to use with this guy with. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, wait, he's actually got a pretty legit magical attack.
Yeah, he's got a little arcane bolt that he can shoot at things. Nice. Yeah, I've used that before.
Yeah, I've used it now, too, once I lost a jack with it that he was using. I'm like, because I was like, oh, what can I do with this guy? And I looked at his card, I'm like, oh, yeah, magic. Ah, yes.
We can use magic, yay.
Yay.
So, yeah. All right. So you were talking about Harkovich.
I love his fluff. I love the look of him. I love playing with him. People, every time they see him on the table, they say, why are you playing Harkovich? He's terrible. And I'm like, I like him. I have fun playing him. And until I stop having fun playing with him, I will play with him.
I think that's a really viable, I mean, yeah, really good, I mean, reason to play with someone.
But, oh well.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, but you can try hard enough to make anything win. You know?
Like I said, I mean, I've won 3 games with him. All caster kills because either I got to beat them to death with his big beat stick, or I shot them and rolled fire. Like, rolling 3 sixes on a boosted shot is kind of awesome.
Well, and there's a little bit of fun to meta the environment, too, where if people are only used to those powerhouse characters, they don't know what some of these lesser, you know, casters are capable of doing, right. And they just ignore them.
Well, Harkovich is kind of, he doesn't have a lot of surprises, but they don't expect him. Like, they don't see him used, so they don't know what he does, but if you've seen him before, you know what he does.
Well, right, but a lot of people, when they go against Kator, they're expecting, okay, where's the Iron Flesh Kayazi? Where is the, you know, where's the one Jack? You know, that's their Kator tactic.
Which Butcher am I playing against now?
Exactly. Yeah. Or Sorsha. Oh, yeah. God.
Sorsha is my second favorite.
Yeah.
I just love that her feet gives everything decapitation.
Yep.
Yeah, but, like, you can, I've even tried to make Gunnbjorn work, and I haven't had a massive amount of success. Cause
hey, he worked against me.
I've gotten a couple of wins, okay? I'll put it that way, but he's missing something, like a feat or spells.
But I think in my limited experience of dealing with this game, like I said, I've only been in for about a year and a half, and really only just over a year playing. But it seems like, and I might be totally off base here, that Privateer Press does recognize some of the stuff that isn't being played and does sort of attempt at times to bring out pieces to make pieces more viable.
That's a marketing thing as well, though.
It's trying to sell product. But at the same time, I think they do listen to the community a little bit in that regard of like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, like Scattergunners aren't selling very well, but we'll put out this UA for them, and holy cow, now they're freaking amazing.
Yeah.
No, I just wish they would do something like that for the Cinerators.
I'm sure they'll get something. Cinerators are actually...
They're decent, but then you have the Bastions, which are way better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. There's no reason. We kind of actually going into that little discussion, too, is like with Bane Knights. I mean,
yeah.
Bastions are just so much better than... And the Cinerators, sad sometimes.
Yeah,
but like to flip the same kind of argument where it's a marketing scheme. Like I used to joke when I was back in my workshop days how the better a model looked, the worse the rules tended to be. Like so, you'd have these really awesome figures with mediocre at best rules, but if something was at like a bad sculpt from conception, they tended to have better rules that seemed proportionate.
Interesting.
And then there were rare exceptions. Like I played Dark Eldar because I liked to lose.
I won with my Dark Eldar.
So. I was able to win, but there were two out of three games. If I didn't win that first turn, I'd already lost the game because they were shooting down my entire army before I moved a piece.
When you have cardboard ships, that happens.
Cardboard ships are not the troopers, too. It was terrible.
Which is
well, that was the issue that I had with 40K. It was basically whoever got to roll the most dice first was the ones that ended up winning.
Yeah,
that's you know.
I had 40K stuff. I never played with it.
Would you like some more? It's going cheap.
No, I really wouldn't. I still actually have my Fantasy Dwarfs. Which is funny because I started out with Warhammer. I got their box and I had the High Elves. And I traded that for Orcs and Goblins. And then I went and traded that for my Dwarfs. And I still have my Dwarfs because I really like the way they're painted and stuff. But then I went and got... can't remember what I went into in 40K, and then I traded that, and I have the Tyranids, and I still have that at home, too. But I never actually played a game of 40K at all, because by the time it came around to me getting my 40K stuff, the store we played at went under and closed. So it was the only place in, like, an hour and a half to play, so I was like, okay.
Yeah, my biggest piece of advice for you is to take all that awesome Warhammer stuff and just convert it to Blood Bowl, and you'll be fine.
Well, yes. There we go.
Or Mordheim. Yeah. Dwarves do well in Mordheim, as I'm finding out.
Well, that was one of the reasons. Like, I had the High Elves, but I sort of moved towards the Goblins because I really liked the look of them. And then I got looking at the Dwarves, and the guy I was playing with had Dwarves, so we just straight up traded armies, Goblins for Dwarves and stuff. So
nice.
And I painted up all my Dwarves, and I liked the way they look, and I was, you know, 14, 15, 16 at this time and stuff, so.
Yeah, so even playing those games has been hard at that point because everything's so pricey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't start getting into miniature gaming until I had my own income. But
I was only 3 years before I had my own income.
Yeah, it's real rough playing any of these games when you have to go, you know, 4, 5, 6 months between a $40 purchase.
Yeah, yeah. Or just exactly. Do what I do and spend all your money uselessly and don't eat for a while.
I like food. Food does lots of things for like keep me alive and entertained in many cases.
It's nice, but I work third shift in retail, so income isn't a thing. You want to know what's
worked just as well?
What's that?
Beer.
But when we're at the point where you don't have your income, you know, just the buying beer thing, you know, like I don't think I can live off of that the same way I can live off of food.
No, it's got everything you need in it.
That's what they fed the slaves. I mean, come on, man. Liquid bread.
Yes, exactly.
Keep you drunk and happy. Yep.
No uprisings.
You get a beer.
Hey. And he's not a beer man.
Where are you going? The conversation revolved around you.
We're lost without our master.
Masters. Okay. What fluff character would you like to see turn into an actual playable character?
Oh, geez. That's assuming I knew more about the fluff.
Well, and the only reason I bring this up was because one was brought up in the latest new quarter for Mena that I thought was really awesome.
if I had to pick, it would probably be one of the multitude of named Trollblood beasts.
It's a bottle opener.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I
go through security with me all the time. I did.
Wow.
Up here, and I wanted to...
I went and brought some of my favorite beer that I have, that I've been drinking now for the past 2 years, and it's the Left Hand Brewery. I've never actually had a bad beer by them, but their milk stout is amazing, and they also have a nitro milk stout, so it's just carbonated with nitrogen instead of, you know, so it's really good. But
are you of age?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So you just get to sit there and be jealous.
Not in your country, anyway. I'm in mine. Dual citizenship, motherfucker. Ooh, can't say
that. Okay.
I
guess it'll just be Andy and I.
Oh, excellent.
I'm also going to work in like an hour.
Yeah, that's probably not good.
They have a zero tolerance policy, it turns out.
Yeah, most businesses do.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Especially when you lift heavy machinery all day.
You lift heavy machinery?
Yes, I actually have to lift. We have pallet jacks that don't actually lift on their own, so they're just wheels.
Yeah.
So you have to lift them onto the truck, then load them, then lift them off of the truck, and it takes like four people.
Ah, bionic arms I see you have.
No, we just have a lot of people doing it.
We have to forcibly drag the salt pallets up to the front.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give this a shot.
And?
What do you think?
Yeah, it worked.
Okay. Like, I'm a big beer guy. Like, I brew my own. Not this winter, though, because there's something about standing outside in negative degree weather that I don't like. So,
that's weird. Why are you in Wisconsin, then? Come on.
Jeez, yeah. I did it a couple times last year.
To be fair, this winter was cold for Antarctica, you know?
I did it a couple times last year, and I was like, but it was like only like in the teens, and it wasn't so bad. But when it's in there at like negative 20, negative 30, I'm like, nope, not going out there. But anyway, beer-wise, I'm a big dark beer. I love my stouts and my porters, so that's what I tend to go towards. Do a little bit of IPAs every now and then.
I'm not a fan of IPAs. I don't like it. It takes a lot
to get into them because they're so hoppy. But I have found some that have a lower hoppiness rating, so they just have a better taste, I feel.
Do you use Untappd?
I do, but I don't remember my login, and I never go out to the bars or anything, so I never go and actually get to use it.
For those who don't know, Untappd is something we brought up on the other podcast. But it's a beer tracker.
Yeah,
it's Untappd, and you can actually log in and keep track of your beer. It'll give you achievements as well for drinking beer on certain dates.
Yeah,
and as you know,
I got something a little bit like that, but it's just called Beer Plus. But since I don't do a lot of going to the bars and drinking, it's just an app where you can go and put down the beer, you know, and take down all the information, like what brewery and what style and all this information about it and how many you've drank. And then you can take a picture of it, and then it sort of, you can load it up to their site, and then, you know, there's a whole community around it. So that's what I use because I don't really go out to the bars that much. But I haven't really kept up with it as much, especially when I go and have gone to Steve's and gone to the back to, like, all the imported beer and stuff.
Yeah.
And dropped $150 at a time to just pick up 10 big bottles of beer to bring home to go and drink over a two-day period, just because I like beer.
You see, my problem with things like Untappd is if you need achievements to reward you for drinking, maybe you're drinking the wrong stuff. I should feel that if you're going to go and spend that kind of money, you should feel rewarded enough that you are drinking it. Not like, well, I drank it, I better get my achievement point so I justify this beverage.
Well, I don't think a lot of people that do it for the achievements, even though I do know people that do it for that. But I mean, I think most of your apps now are getting these achievements built in just because they work for video games.
Well, they've done studies. Like one of the reasons that that Sony moved to the achievements is because if people who had both systems, they would buy it on the 360 because you could get an achievement where you couldn't do it on the PlayStation 3 for such a long time.
Well, and that sort of goes back to, I can't remember, I think it was a Reddit article or something about that where it was like another country breaking down, like, oh yeah, America, you go and need, you know, your beer commercials to be the way they are. So, you know, you need to be told when to go and have fun, or that you should be have fun drinking and all this. Over here, we just go and do it because we want to. We don't need to be told, oh, this is how you should be drinking, or this is how you should be having fun and stuff. So that's a, you know, interesting concept, but...
Well, I've heard that a lot, too. Like, the American work ethic is very different than the European work ethic. And this is both in traditional senses, of course.
Yes. I wish it would change.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, well, that's just it. Is like, the European work ethic is much more of a relaxed pace, you know? You're expected to put in a longer day, but during that day, the work is less intense.
Yeah.
Vacation time and stuff like that is much more ingrained as part of what you're supposed to be doing. Whereas the American culture is like, you will do it now, and you will do it fast, and you will do it hard.
Wait, people get vacation?
What? Well, not so much anymore, but eventually, you know, you can get to a job that'll get you vacation.
Don't get my hopes up.
Well, I'm assuming you don't want to work retail for the rest of your life.
Oh, God, I'm still looking for another job. It's just, they're so easy to get. Like, all the people who complain, oh, I can't get a job. No, you're just refusing to work the ones that are out there.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, too, but that's for another time.
Yeah, yeah, but it... What were we talking about? We were talking about work ethic. So, yeah, it's the American, like, you will work hard, like, all of your time belongs to your employer in the U.S. in most cases, the way that the mindset is. And that's where those kind of commercials come from, where, like, okay, well, you finally have time off. You need to spend it this way so you can have the most fun possible while you still actually have time.
Yeah, but going along the lines of, you know, the work ethic. Oh, my God, I just totally forgot what I was talking about. Well, I might as well just be Jeremy. Yeah. I might as well just be Jeremy.
Well, you're not laughing incessantly into the microphone.
Here, no, wait, stop. Let me interrupt you. I'm going to Kanye West this right here.
I'm going to let you finish.
You're going to Jeremy Shea this right here? Is that
Yeah.
Oh, it's be shame on you.
Oh.
It had to be done. Continue. Yeah.
No, I literally forgot what I was going to talk about.
Well,
so.
I was going to say, I almost feel bad for Jeremy because he was so nice to me when I was getting into this game. He'd play with me. He'd explain to me what I was doing wrong and everything. And I just saw everybody rip into him. And then I saw him after he won something, and then I understood.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy is a nice guy. I don't have really anything against him, but he is so easy to just rip on. Yeah, and he takes it so well. Yeah. So.
He's got that face.
Yeah.
You're like
he's always got a grin.
I have to make fun of this guy.
Yeah.
he's honestly probably one of the nicest guys in this area too. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we make fun of him in the Wisconsin sense to show him that we love him.
It's like, we don't know how to work that out.
I will show you how I love you by my fists.
Oh, so we're like third graders.
Those are
love bruises. We're third graders with the girl we like.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw this ball at you because I like you.
Exactly. I'm going to shove your model into a Twinkie.
Yeah. Oh, well.
God, Brian.
I'm not sure Brian really liked him at that point.
He's never living that story down either.
Well, if we could talk about stories that Brian can't live down, we could talk about his advanced deploying Totem Hunter that he played for like 6 months after Mark II hit.
Don't know this.
No, he just played with the Totem Hunter and it was playing with advanced deployment.
Mm.
And it works out pretty well.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah.
So,
but no, I mean, we all have those type of stories too, where we've done something wrong for so long, and then like, oh,
well, shit. So long. All it takes is one grievous example, you know. Like, and I could mention in 5 years the term "vomit angel," and people are going to know what I'm talking about.
Vomit angel,
really?
I don't understand that either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from the party.
I thought you were talking about something that was like happened a long time ago, not something.
No, that's pretty recent. Okay, like, maybe I'm wrong.
I wasn't even there.
Well, anybody who listened to the podcast knows that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the vomit angel that somebody decided to make vomit angels in the bathroom.
I don't know how you could get that drunk to actually think that's a good idea.
I don't think it was a good idea.
No, I have never got that drunk that I would ever think that was a good idea.
I don't think he thought it was a good idea. I think he passed out, fell on the floor, puked, and then just
flailed around for a while.
Yeah, so he was in a category of let's do a cannonball into a septic tank. Like, it's you know, it's not a good idea. It was probably just something that happened.
Well, I don't know, something like that. That sounds like a
no. It's gross when you're combing the corn and human refuse out of your hair. You know,
how do you think that would work?
Not very
well for you.
You'd be fine a week later in your hair.
For those of you who can't see, I have very, very curly hair.
Yeah, so. What's this? Oh. Oh.
That brings up bad memories from a week ago.
You took a cannonball into the septic tank?
No, it'd be then? Him. Like, okay. Pulling out of his hair. I'd be like, I was trying to forget about this.
That'd be a terrible way to get reminders, too. Just finding bits of a horrible event, you know, in weeks past. Like,
It's like seeing pictures on Facebook after you had a blackout night.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, there's... Oh, God.
I had some of those last week. They're still there.
Yeah, seeing pictures of something that you don't remember is probably about the worst.
Well, you have to turn those into games, though. You have to make sure you find a picture of something you don't remember, you pass around, ask somebody else to caption it for you.
Yeah, like, what happened here? And then you get a nice long story and be like, I don't remember any of that. Crap. What else happened that night?
Why do I have these handcuff marks on my hand?
No, I have never just decided to wander out of a bar and get into a car with some girls that decided to bring me home. Never.
What? This sounds like a story that has to be told.
Oh, okay. So we went out to a bar, and I have this tendency that when I get really drunk...
Was this before or after marriage?
This is before.
Okay. All right.
Granted, the story I met his wife. Granted,
it's not something that really has changed, but when I get really drunk, I tend to just decide to wander.
Yeah.
I'll just leave wherever I'm at and be like, So I was sitting there drinking with my cousin and my brother, and we like to do three wise men. So we had done a couple three wise men.
And what is that?
Jim Not Jack a wise and Jose in a shot.
Okay.
Yes.
Yikes.
It's tasty. doesn't taste like burning at all.
I was gonna say,
but anyway, I decided, I'm like, hey, I need to go outside and get some fresh air. So I go outside, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for a little walk. And I'm walking.
Tired of the fresh air in Wisconsin. I'd like something that's fresh air in Illinois. What?
This is in Iowa.
Oh, okay. No wonder you want to get out of there.
But anyway, so I'm walking, and I'm walking across this bridge, and these girls stop in this car, and they're just like, do you need a ride home? And I'm like, why, yes, certainly I do. I'm just going to get into the stranger's car and tell them where I live.
No.
So I get in the car, and they ask me where to go, and I can barely look up, because if I look up, I'm going to see motion, and I'm going to hurl, my God, nope. So I'm, like, telling them where to go, and then I get a call from my cousin. He's like, where the hell are you at? And I'm like, I decided to take a walk, and I'm in this car with two chicks, and he's like, are they hot? And I look up, and I'm like, hey, are you guys hot? Anyway,
to be fair, there's more impolite ways to ask that question. Yeah. Like, so between the two of you, what is your aggregate weight? You know.
So I end up, they end up do take me back to where I was staying, and I end up passing out on the front porch outside of our place. And I called my cousin before I passed out. I'm like, dude, you got to come back. I don't have keys. You need to let me in. He's like, no, you're just going to sit out there until we get back. Wow. So I said, like, I'm passed out by the time they get back. They just leave me sitting outside.
And I mean, you offended them.
They get home and then they just walk past you?
Yeah, they got home, saw that I was sitting there on the porch, walked past me, went inside, left the door unlocked because I ended up waking up at like 4 in the morning, still passed out on this porch, and then went in to go to bed. But yes, that is...
Was it at least warm outside?
Yeah, this was like summertime, okay. So it was like July. So, but this is like one of my many drunk stories. So
nice. So it's not like that gal that was up in Duluth that ended up like losing half her limbs because she went outside drunk, passed out, and
funny story limbs about Jeremy is called Jeremy of the Nine Fingers.
No, but there's been many of parties that I've had during the winter where. Especially during college, where it was like beach theme, so you'd be in there in sandals and swim trunks and stuff, and then you just turn the heat on in the house up to like 95 or so. And then afterwards, being in a college town, there'd be plenty of places to eat, so you'd go walking in the snow in your flip flops and, you know, swim trunks and a t-shirt to go get food at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's not even a special time. That's just a Tuesday.
Yeah,
I thought that was Wisconsin. Just Wisconsin. Yeah.
No, this is back in Iowa too. But I mean, Iowa, Wisconsin. What's the difference?
Well, Iowa's usually a corn-based Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it's a corn-based Wisconsin.
It really is.
It's also where everybody flocks to, apparently, in the War Machine community.
They just can't handle us. That's all.
See, I left.
Well,
because I was down in that Des Moines area. I like went to college for a little bit in Ames, which is about a half hour south of Des Moines, and then I lived in Northeast Iowa. That's where I'm from. And then I worked in Dubuque for a little bit, and then I met my wife and moved to Madison. So it sort of went the opposite way of everyone else.
Yeah, the opposite way of everyone else, but came up in the world. So it's okay.
Well, I know a lot of people who came from Des Moines, and like the only thing I ever hear from the natives in the area is like the water's really good. They miss the water. Do you miss the water?
No. Like my cousin who lived next to me, he had well water. So when they got moved over to city water, he's like, oh, this water's horrible. Well, I grew up my whole life on city water, so I'm like, I don't know. Fluoride and clean water tastes a lot better to me than well water and all the minerals. So, but no, so I don't miss the water at all because I don't really – I actually seem like the water is better here. But.
I don't think you're from Iowa.
I drink like I'm from Iowa. But I also drink like I'm a full-blooded German, which I think that's probably more important.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Wisconsin's has a slight heritage in German.
Just a small one.
Just a small one.
Small one. Yeah.
In fact, after this, we should all go to the Essen House.
Unfortunately, I have friends over, so I cannot.
Oh, well, they can go to the Essen House?
Again, underage and have to go to work.
This is non-alcoholic stuff.
Yeah, they do.
They serve kraut.
Oh, yeah. I love kraut.
To be fair, a lot of the other German dishes are actually pretty good. You know. It's you don't have to love the beer, but you know.
Oh,
they make some kick ass sausage.
How long until you're of age?
2 years.
2 years.
I'm 19.
Holy crap!
But I turn 20 in 3 months.
All right. So
wow,
a year and 3 months.
A year and 3 months. All right. Excellent.
Yeah. Surprised,
really,
Jeremy.
I really thought you were old. I thought you were more like 22, 23.
One of my coworkers, he asked how old I was, and I'm like, I'm 19. He's like, really? I thought you were 30.
Well, no, I wouldn't insult
most
by
people
that,
don't, but he's like, yeah. Most people who see me don't expect me to be this young. I don't know why, but.
Well, people always, well,
yeah,
another great story because I have a little bit of a baby face. I literally were getting carted for rated R DVDs at Walmart until I was 27.
Nice. Grow a beard. Seriously?
No, I tried. It's like a patch here, patch here, patch here. I can't
do that the same thing. I can grow mutton chops, but it doesn't fill in here.
Oh, see.
Like, no mustache, no
like,
chin.
I've got the same problem. Like I lose 10 years when I shave off my beard. That's why I keep it, because
I can lend you some of mine. I mean.
No, my wife challenged me to try and grow a beard, so I did for 2 months, and it was the worst looking. Like, I actually have pictures of it on Facebook where I went the opposite direction. I went and tried to grow out facial hair, and then shaved off the top of my head. Shaved off my head. So
see,
I like,
most people who do that don't have much on top to keep, so yeah, that's where the root goes.
Mine more went, it was summer, and I don't like styling my, like, I don't like spending 2 minutes even to do my hair, so I'm just going to go and shave it all off.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
So I had a shaven head and shitty-ass looking beard that barely was spotted in, so.
Nice. No, that's why I grow my hair long, so I don't have to do anything with it. So I can just put it back in a ponytail, I'm done.
Just do yourself a favor. If you ever, ever start to go bald, get rid of it. Because there's nothing quite as bad as that hair. It looks like it literally just picked up and walked down the back of your neck.
Oh, I love the halos. I love the old man halo where it's just like a halo of hair.
You know, I can put up with that a lot better than the long hair and that same thing. Yeah. Like I said, it looks like it just crawled down your neck and you just didn't know how to catch it.
One of my teachers in high school actually grew out just the patch at the back of his head. And got extensions to get a master's braid because he was a martial artist.
Oh, God.
So he got just the extensions to get a braid. So he was stark bald, huge, long braid that was connected to this like clump of hair at the back of his head.
So he had basically a skullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, I will not go for the Terry Bradshaw look.
Okay, before any of you met me, I had 4 feet of this.
Oh, wow.
And that was scary.
Must have taken 3 weeks for your hair to dry.
If it ever did.
Yeah.
There's some speculation that my hair never actually dried.
Yeah, I don't know what I could do.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I dealt with long hair for a little bit, and then I decided, nope.
I find it funny that this entire story started with, like, I got into a car with two random women, turned into, like, oh, yeah, patchy beards and, you know, going bald.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't that how most stories go?
Well, usually got into a car with two women ends up with a bunch more,
interesting storyline.
Ending.
Festive.
Festive.
So it was like a surprise party.
Yes, there was a surprise involved.
Got in the car with two women, end up having a kid 9 months later. They ripped my hair.
Well, if he's the shoot Jeremy, it would be he got into a car with two women, turns out that they were actually two men.
One and a half.
Good thing I am not the true Jeremy. Granted, I was not able to actually see them. I just went based on their voices.
That can be deceiving too.
You sound hot. Are you phone sex hot? Come on.
Are you hot?
Oh my god, that would be a horrible pickup line to use at a bar. Are you phone sex hot? Oh my god.
Oh jeez. Wow. I'm gonna try that on you my can wife. Do phone sex.
Just call her up now. Just ask her. Come on.
Babe, do you think your phone sex hot?
We'll be able to tell when he shows up for gaming next week with a black eye.
No. Well, I won't be there this next week because she's going on a trip, so she won't be able to punch me then. So by the time, well, you won't be able to see it. So.
Oh, so you phone her up. You know, your phone sex hot.
I'll have nearly 2 weeks before you guys see me again, so it'll probably be healed up by that point.
Either that or she knows to go where the, you know, clothes covers it up. She doesn't hurt the face because then she knows.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah, you got the bag of oranges. Right here. You get beat with a bag of oranges.
Yeah.
Much like the other Jeremy.
Well, he does it for fun.
Yeah. I loved it. Me and the other Jeremy were playing, and he gets his call, and he looks at me, and I'm like, do you have to go home? And he's like, no, but is it okay if I go out and eat with my wife? I'm like, that's fine. He just looks at me like this sad puppy, like, I have to go.
Well,
now.
I think everyone looked at him when he got that call. I was like, oh, crap, she's calling to take him away.
Yeah. That's,
it's
you
still
know,
funny enough
my
that
wife
I don't care.
At least does not do that. She's like, okay, it's Wednesday night. It's your night out to do your, you know, geek thing. She calls it a nerdy thing. It's more geek, I feel. But either way, she knows not to disturb me and call me home, except for if it was emergencies.
Yeah. Well,
which
makes
is understandable.
Sense too. Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
You just need to turn the tables on when she goes out for a girls' night out. Just say like, yeah, are you going to go out for that sorority thing? That's fine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fine.
As long as it's not a, you know, surprise party.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I wasn't, we weren't going to really run this very long. If you guys wanted to still continue, we can. But basically, I just wanted to get like maybe an hour or so into it. Do you guys have anything else?
But we haven't done Zappity Grunt. Oh, no, we need to find somebody else.
We have to find something else for our lightning round.
Flippity bloops. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, crap. We've upset that man enough, I think, in the Madison community.
You know,
I don't think
I really
pretty grumpy.
What? She's naturally grumpy.
I feel bad that I can never actually go and watch his Twitch because it always is on when we're putting my son to bed.
Yeah,
but I really like watching it, so I'll watch it on YouTube later. But I really like that show. But you know, I feel bad that I can't actually be live ever with that. So.
I was the last show for a long time that he did. He pretty much hung up the cords after my show. But no, he's going good.
I think it's that says something about you there, Andy.
That I put end the shows?
Yeah. You're either that great that no one wants to continue or no one wants to continue.
We'll see how this does after this. Yeah, but I mean, I figure we'll probably do this type of podcast maybe like once a month or so. Or honestly, if you guys really want to do it, we could. And we're not doing a crazy event on Saturdays. We could probably do this
because that never happens.
Yeah, this is the first weekend that I've had in a long time that we're not doing anything.
Yeah, that's
the
one.
It's a calm
thing.
Before the storm, though.
Yeah.
Isn't next week at Depticon?
Well, the
next
storm
week
just ended, and now another storm's coming up. But.
Well, usually a lot of places will have like that 1 month period where it's a little scattered because you know the weather gets not frigid outside, and
people
want to
go
do
outside.
Stuff. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. I work third shift. There is no outside. It's still darkness.
I loved when I worked third shift.
I love it too. I complain about it a lot, but I get paid better than dayside. My hours are 8 hour shifts. They're not 4 or 6 hour shifts. They're not broken up, and you know.
I didn't actually have to go and
lunch.
Deal with my boss.
I love that. Don't have to deal with the store manager. Don't have to deal with customers. And I've got a paid lunch since we're locked into the building and nothing's open at 4 a.m. anyway. So
yeah, that works.
Yep. There's a lot of benefits to working third shift. You just got to be able to be awake.
Yeah.
We have had problems with that. People just like sleep during their shift. And they're like, all right.
Really?
Why are you here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You'll see nonsense like that. You'd be surprised the stunts people will pull in odd hours.
Yeah. I don't know. I loved when I worked third shift.
Yeah.
But I'm just weird. I was naturally a night owl as it was. But
best part about for me working third shift was destroying the store and then leaving it for the day crew.
We can't do that. We have to actually clean it up.
Oh.
Well, I, so, worked, I worked in a network operations center, so I couldn't really do that.
I worked at a Walmart. This is actually Brian Carnage for you, also worked at the same Walmart.
Oh, boy. And, that sounds like a good pair right there.
Yeah, we did horrible things at that store.
Hunting for shopping carts?
The hunting for shopping carts was awesome.
I feel worse, but it was Walmart. So.
Yeah, I don't feel too bad there. But
it wasn't involving me, but it did involve somebody working through the, not health and beauty, but kind of, it basically had all the detergents, and he overloaded the pallet too much, and he had a, and the, our entry into the back of the store was kind of low. It was only like 8 foot or something like that. And so he loaded the pallet too high, and the top half of the pallet was all bleach.
Ooh. How would you not see that coming?
So as he's pulling the whole pallet back.
Well, still, you can go and be like,
that's not going to fit.
That's not going to fit.
Yeah. No, he didn't realize. He was just walking backwards into the back room, just pulled off that whole top row. I guess
walking backwards is a little bit different. But at the same
still,
time, how many times have you walked under that? You should know how tall it is.
Exactly. No, but he pulled off the top, the full top row of that pallet. Oh, all God. Bleach everywhere. Ooh. It was amazing.
That smelled
discount towels, right?
He destroyed all the wax that was on all the tile out there. So it was, And that was done like at like 5 a.m. So
right before the store opened,
pretty much store opens at 6. So yeah, that was fun. The other time was when we were pushing one of the salt pallets up front, and I was the pusher, and my friend was the driver. And this was right during Easter, and as we're pushing forward, I happened to notice he was starting to lean slightly to the right, and he was going to be heading towards like some Easter decorations. And I'm like, dude, you got to make sure. Watch out, you're going to turn into the Easter. And then he like immediately shifts over to the left.
Jerk reaction
to the left. And then we hit the health and beauty counter. And actually, not the counter, the row, the actual row for health and beauty. And they moved the entire row for health and beauty about a foot.
Oh, jeez.
So if you think of one of the rows in Walmart, we moved the entire row because the salt pallet just rammed that thing. All the shampoo, all the conditioner, everything that was on that shelf just fell onto the floor, and then we went home.
And no one will notice anything except for the people that can't fit their rascals through that aisle now.
So. Put up a caution wet floor sign and they just go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We made such a huge mess, and we went home like in the next half hour. We didn't even pick it up.
And we're out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Ah, fun stories.
But yeah, no, if there's enough people like this, we'll do this again.
Maybe Lewis will actually show up.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Lewis, what do you have to say about this?
I'm really regretting I'm not here right now.
We have Lewis in a box?
Yes, let me out.
Well, we did tie him up and try and gag him, so.
Yeah, we take him out every half hour and beat him. That's exercise, right?
So it was really sad, though, because Lewis was on, he was shown in pictures on Facebook earlier in the day. I texted him multiple times and called him multiple times with no answer.
Lewis is going on one of those European tours where he does have those really cool got into a car with two women stories.
Oh, yeah.
No, got into a train. Got into a train.
Yeah. Lewis. Jeez.
I haven't really heard many of Lewis's stories, but I hear they are just amazing.
Yeah, he's been around.
And from what my story's going, I feel you guys are all disappointed now.
A little bit, but it's okay. It's your first try.
Well, you can tell it again and embellish it a little bit.
Well,
you know?
I'm literally trying to fill the role of Valiant 418. Just
bringing
you guys to a nice high and then just leaving you disappointed.
Well, you have to, if you're going to tell a proper story of Jeremy, you have to tell something that's, that is going to eventually just be embarrassment for you.
Oh.
So wasn't that embarrassing enough for me?
Self-deprecation. Well, being picked up by two potentially hot women in a car.
Potentially.
Phone sex hot, right?
Phone sex hot women in a car. You know?
I mean, their voices were hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
So that, instead that's of a Katie's really Corner, we just have a rip on Jeremy Hour.
Well, that's, isn't that what this podcast is?
Isn't that what Crippled System already is?
Yeah, it's pretty
That's actually Jeremy's hand in the gears.
And then when the thing impales it. I thought that would be a cool animated effect when you should show the hand getting run and then just stab through it. Maybe not.
No.
Sounds like work.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can also do a round of recommendations.
We can do recommendations. Do you guys have any?
I actually do.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Look at that. The first recommendation would be to, if you have a spouse, doesn't have to be the same hobby, but find something you guys can do together. Like, my wife and I, we like to play board games, so we have a lot of two-player board games. Mr. Jack is one we both really like, but she's also a Pinterest fanatic.
Okay.
And I paint, so, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, we will have a night where we'll go into her craft room and we will go and I'll paint and she'll do her Pinterest stuff, whatever that is, and, you know, just talk. Like, I don't know, significant others hanging out together. That's a nice recommendation, I assume.
Slight recommendation I would probably make for that situation is finding out what Pinterest is.
Okay, sorry. I know a lot about this because my wife Pinterest. So Pinterest is basically a social media site for women to go and pin craft projects from like websites and stuff like that. So they pin them and it spreads around. Like everyone pins stuff and then you'll see like, oh, this person pinned this. You'll be like, oh, that's really cool. But they're all craft projects from like websites and stuff that you pin and then you track. You know, you can mark like, oh, I did this one, or and write comments about it like. There's recipes and craft projects and all this other stuff. Like, most of the recipes turn out like shit, but whatever.
I would want to troll Pinterest and put bad recipes up.
But I'll admit that she signed me up for a Pinterest account, mainly because there's also ideas in there for, like, home bars and stuff like that, which I'm looking at doing. So.
Oh, nice.
So that's all my Pinterest board is like, ideas for a home bar.
And cross stitch.
And cross stitch. It is a nasty little hobby of mine.
It's just a nice soft surface on your bar. Yeah. It's just because it's all cross stitch.
Well, I'm just going to go and cross stitch something that lays across a whole bar and then put clear resin over top of it so it's always there.
That's a good policy for any bar, is to have a nice clear layer of something you can remove.
Yes. Yeah. That says, grab your beer and get the fuck out.
Well, I've got another recommendation. I recommend playing Castlevania II: Lords of Shadow 2. The critics really panned it. It turned out surprisingly well. It's like it looks good. It plays really strong. There are some quirks that I think the critics held against it, but the game I think actually turned out just as good as the original did.
So what system is that on?
PlayStation 3, 360, and I think you can download it off of Steam, too.
Okay, so it's not one of the DS ones.
No. It's a full three-dimensional one. It's like a cross between Uncharted, God of War, and the newest one, Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh, I love Arkham Asylum.
It's a mesh of those three.
It's a really nice 3D Castlevania.
Nice. Yeah. Castlevania was one of my favorite, like, just genres overall, just growing up from the NES on up, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, it turned out really good. I do recommend you play it regardless of what the critics have said.
Cool.
Nice.
No
recommendations? Okay, I'm going to go for you then. Titanfall. I know you're not wearing the shirt. You're wearing it on Wednesday.
Yeah, I
have been playing it since it came out.
That gives me a recommendation. I recommend Loot Crate if Andy hasn't already.
No, I might have, but
because for
not
the
on
past
this podcast.
3 months that I've gotten it, there's been a shirt in each and every one. So all my new wardrobe has come from this $20 a month box full of nerdy stuff.
Nice.
And there is some cool stuff in there. Like I gave, I stole one of Nathan's templates for like 2 weeks. When I returned to him, I gave him a bow tie that had...
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah,
the cap. That's pretty cool. The Impossible Bear.
Yeah.
Nice, that's like the sort of like the Loot Crate idea where
there's a box of it right there.
Nice.
And I actually learned through Andy's Facebook because he's like, I'm going to sign up for this, and I saw what was in it. I'm like, this is cool. I want this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Loot Crate's pretty sweet. They just have like random geek stuff in it. This last one was all Titanfall stuff.
It wasn't as great as the past ones, but... A shirt's a shirt. There was If you've ever seen the what is it, the anime that's now a manga or whichever way it went for
Attack on Titan, which is really good.
They have the first volume in there, which is basically like half of the first season.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've been meaning to do Loot Crate, but just actually never got around to just doing it. So I'm seeing. I kickstarted. Well, it wasn't actually Kickstarter; it was the other one, Indiegogo, Video Game High School, which is put out by Freddie Wong, Rocket Jump.
Okay. Yep.
But I kicked or Indiegogo, however you want to say it.
I think it's easier to say Kickstarter.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're season three, and I've got the Loot Crate actually put a special thing in there, so I'm getting a Loot Crate of Video Game High School stuff whenever that comes out. So I'll see how that goes. But
nice. Yeah, I've liked the Loot Crate as well. I will abstain from giving a suggestion or a recommendation. Actually, I really like this beer that you gave.
Yeah, there we go.
Which was the Milk Stout from Left Hand Brewing.
Yes, we'll recommend that. Everyone go get some. It's awesome.
Is it carried outside of Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's actually from Left Hand Brewing. It's from Colorado. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Longmont.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll get right on that.
You do that. Perfect.
In a year and 3 months.
Yeah. Make sure you also try their nitro version.
I liked it. It's not as good as Spotted Cow, but I like Spotted Cow.
Well, it's a stout, and so
it works.
It's completely different genre.
How do you like 280s, Andy?
Oh,
280s is amazing.
That's one of my favorites. So good.
Wait, how are you supposed to know? How do you know that?
He's heard.
I'm Irish. How's that?
Family
silence. I didn't have good parents, okay?
I do. Or awesome the parents. Same thing I did.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll call it at that and call this one first one in the bag. Not literally, but in the bag.
Dang it. We got to do more of these? No, I'm joking.
No,
you know, I had fun.
We get to.
We get to. Yay. No. This is awesome. I enjoyed it. So it was fun.
Yeah, well, maybe Lewis will be here next time.
Maybe.
I mean, let's not count on anything.
Yeah. It might be just.
I'm just
going to
build a puppet with
enjoyable.
Lewis's name tag on it, and then
we're going to build a duck and name it Lewis. Because he's ducking us right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's ducking a podcast.
He's ducking a podcast.
Yep.
All right. Well, this is Andy. I'm signing out.
Jeremy.
Jeff.
Adam.
We'll see you next time.
Yep.